Hi, today we will be talking about data and primarily digital data. As you all know, when we are talking about business analytics, we are dealing with lots and lots of data, and at the end of the day we have to analyze that data, then only we can reach to certain conclusions or outputs. So we will be precisely talking about digital data today. What are its type, how they are collected and how they are stored, and how they are utilized for further processing. Data that represents other forms of data using specific machine language systems that can be interpreted by various technologies. When you are talking about data, you actually have to deal with that type of data which can be stored and easily processed. Your systems, or our computer systems, are precisely converting every data into certain binary forms, which may be one or zero forms. These type of forms can easily be processed and can be easily analyzed. So ultimately, when you have a data, it will be converted into certain form and then will be stored somewhere. And then when it is getting processed, that converted form will have a easier processing ratio. And then ultimately, when it will be utilized or output will be generated against it, it will be easy to generate output for the same. There are many forms of data. Like when you're talking about digital data, you might be storing video data, you might be storing text data, you might be storing speech data, and many other forms of data. It could be file based data, or it could be text based data, or it could be random voice data. So all these data are stored differently, but at the end of the day, when these data are getting stored, they are getting stored in a uniform structure which is primarily binary in nature, so that your systems can easily process these type of data. There are complex analog inputs which can be represented with binary systems. So many binary systems, after creating into certain combinations, can give you a resultant output which ultimately gets converted into information. So these binary forms and their conversion into information actually helps in easy processing of the data. Digital data records visual information into a bit map or pixelated map, or if they have certain images or color combinations, those color combinations will be the combination of RGB values, which ultimately again will be converted into bits or binary informations. So these binary informations will then be stored in a structured way so that it can easily be interpreted into the actual output from where it was derived. There are many forms of digital data. Few of the examples are music. So when you listen to a music, it is stored somewhere in form of data. That data will again be in certain transformed form, which can make it easy for the data to be processed or to be analyzed or to be utilized. Then there could be digital information like digital newspapers. These type of informations are formed in again converted form, and when they are being processed, their converted forms will be processed instead of the original form. Digital television or interactive televisions, they will be storing certain information in a similar way. Similar to this, there will be games and games information which will be storing your digital information. So when you are interacting or when you are playing a digital game, they will be storing your information at the back end, so that if in case you have certain profiles or information stored against the game, those informations will remain intact and you can maintain a profile. As an example, when you are playing a game on an Android system or a online system, you will create a profile and then you will reach certain stages of the game. So those stages information and your profile information and all the things that you have carried throughout the game will be stored somewhere, and when you will be restarting the game, those informations or those utilities will be attached to your profile, and ultimately you will be able to use them again. The main advantage of such form of data is their reduced cost. So when you are dealing with a converted form of data, they becomes easy to manage and they can easily be processed. That saves a lot of processing cost and storage cost. And also they reduce some factors which can be a risky factors and can bias with the data. So ultimately when you are storing these data, there will be no biasness. You will have exact information stored in a simple and straightforward manner, and which can be easily processed by your systems as well. And primarily when you will be storing certain information, there will be hosting cost as well. So when you are hosting a information somewhere in online platform, like in today's world, there are many data forms which are stored in online or cloud world. Those cloud world will be saving or asking for the money basis the space that you are capturing. So if they are converted in a simplest manner with less information and all the necessary information stored, you will not have to pay for the extra information that you are carrying everywhere. When the information is simple and straightforward and can be processed in a simple format, there a huge amount of cost is saved by converting it into a simple form. There are different type of data in digital media products. When we talk about type of data, it basically means when you are dealing with the data, you will be asking ki what type of information this variable will be holding. As an example, when I say that this person has an age, and when I have stored the age values of all the members in a certain system, I would know that it is a numeric field. So I know that this particular type of data only holds numeric fields. Similarly, if I am storing certain information of the, as an example, I am storing the information of the name of employee, it's a textual information, a name information. So when I define this variable as a textual type, I would know that this type of variable will only hold textual information and which primarily will have many characters. In the similar way, digital medias have certain type of data in which form they are stored in the final system. Few examples are text and hypertext. Text, as an example, when you are writing the words, or there are certain text information or words information, all those information are stored in the form of text, which if we talk about at a higher level are a set of characters which can hold multiple values. So when you talk about textual information, it basically is a superpower of all the data types because it can hold any type of data, because text at the end of the day can be considered as any data value. The only difference is when you are storing a textual information, it will not process any mathematical information in mathematical form. As an example, if you say that there is a name variable which will always hold character values, and you assign a 12 value to it. So 12 value is a numeric field, but your data type is character. So this variable will not identify it as a number, and it will only consider it as a textual value. So if you try to add anything with it, it will not be able to do it. Your system will not be able to do it. Similarly, there are hypertext. Hypertext is basically the type of text which takes you to the somewhere, some other link. These informations are stored along with the information where your links will be redirecting you. So your source and as well as your destination, all the informations will be getting stored. Your audio informations will be information wherein you will be storing certain voice samples. Those voice samples will be processed and will be converted into the simplest form wherein they can be easily stored. The other types or other form of data when you are talking about digital mediums are graphics, because graphics is an important digital medium parameter. So they are also stored as graphics. So when you talk about graphics, you will be talking about whether it's a JPG image or a bitmap or a vector. They are stored in a different way. So their data types are defined accordingly. They can be videos, because when you are storing videos, you would notice that each video has a certain extension like WMV, FLV, which basically defines that what type of video file this is. The type of video file basically defines what type of storage it will happen, how much space it will take, how much processing it will take, and under what circumstances this will execute. So you would notice that there are many video players which doesn't play certain type of videos. That is because they can't play all types of videos. They are only they can only accept a certain type of videos which can be played on the systems, while there are many other players which can take basis the extension of the video and define the parameters and can accordingly adopt and play your videos. So these all are also important parameter with respect to the videos, what type of video file you are storing, and they are saved accordingly. Then there are animation videos. Animation videos are short form of video type of videos wherein they have only slight frame changes and they are saved accordingly, so that you are not spending too much of the space for this type of data, as and they are not taking the amount of space as other video files are. Then video production files, which basically means the different type of video production systems that you are storing or the files that you are storing, which ultimately will be processed. They are also saved in a defined manner. When you are talking about data or basically digital data, you are storing these data and you are defining the data types. The reason for defining the data type is it becomes easy to manage such type of data when you already know what type of data it is storing. Now, when you are talking about such type of data, they are being stored from certain sources. And when you are taking them from certain sources, you should also understand what type of sources are there from where these data can be collected or accessed. Few of the sources are, there are internal transactional data. Internal transactional data basically means when you are doing certain transaction on a digital medium, your pathway is captured somewhere on the system and those digital footprints are stored somewhere and you are storing those information. As an example, let's suppose you are watching a YouTube video, and when you are watching a YouTube video, you would notice that when you play a video and you stop it in between, your profile will capture the information that you have seen this video till this moment, this minute. When you will be restarting, it will start from where you left it. So all these informations are stored on the Google server, wherein they are storing your information in the digital medium and how, what type of videos you are looking at and till when you have watched the videos, whether you have completed the video or not, and if you have not completed, till what minutes you have seen it. All those informations are saved somewhere. Then there are connected objects data. As an example, when you have connected informations or a connected device, they will be storing certain information out of you. You would have noticed that when you connect your phone to your laptops or your desktops, it starts populating the option that what do you want to do with it. You generally tries to copy your images or photos from your phones to your laptops just to keep the backups. Now those informations are stored, and when you are connecting a device, you have the capacity or ability to drive the data from one source to another source. This way you can also collect the data from after connecting different devices. There are many ways these data are used. As an example, when you are connecting to a device, you would notice that these days our phones are collecting all our information, like what type of payments we are doing, what type of apps we are accessing, what type of profile we have. To give you one simple and straightforward example, when we install one app, as an example, a Truecaller app, it will ask for the information that who are you. So you will be entering your informations, and then after that you would be able to see anybody's information. But to ask for anybody else's information, you have actually compromised with your own information. Now how Truecaller will be utilizing it? They have stored your information in some way. Either they can directly access it by targeting you and giving your data to a most probable user. As an example, let's suppose a company reaches them and they want to sell certain product to the age group of 25 to 30. Now you have entered your information and they know that you are between the age of 25 to 30. They would know that you are a probable target and they can sell your data to the probable buyer. So these type of informations or these type of leaks, yes, do happens when you are storing the information on digital. There are positives and negatives. These are one of the examples of negatives. There are positives as well. As an example, you get to see more information. You don't need to save everybody's contact and you would be able to see who else actually is trying to contact you, and you can block the callers as well. So it's a give and take type of situation. Then there are syndicate data, which are easier to control, and you actually pay a provider to pay you that data. So basically you are not collecting these forms of data all by yourself. Instead of that, you are taking this information or this data from somewhere else. As an example, I am a certain person and I know a third party provider who knows the data, who has the data, who has the access to your data. And when we ask for the data, they give it to us. As an example, if I go to Facebook and I tell them ki I want to populate an advertisement to all the probable users, they would say ki yes, we have the probable user that you are looking for. If I tell them, can you give us that data or that user, there are certain companies which will give that data against the money, but they have a different way of selling. Like Facebook and Google adopts a different model. Instead of giving the data to them or to the person who is actually looking for it, what they will do is they will say that we will populate your advertisement campaign and we will target the right consumer base. So what they will do is, I am telling them that I want certain people who are between the ages of 25 to 30 and primarily male belonging to the northern part of India. That way, what they will be doing is they already have the geographical information via what Facebook you access, and when you communicate via WhatsApp, they have your location history. Since you are you have saved all your profile information on the Facebook, so they have your age information as well. And since basis your photographs and the information that you have already provided, they would also know whether you are a male or a female candidate. What they will do is, when the advertisement will be placed, it will be redirected to you because you are a most probable set of consumers. So it will not be visible to everyone. Instead, it will be visible to only those people to whom this advertisement has to be redirected. So these are third party service providers, and you can collect from third party data from third party service providers as well. Either they will give you the data or they will help you access it, but not directly, but indirectly. And there are few open data as well. As an example, you would have noticed and you would have seen that Google has created another search algorithm or search tool similar to Google, which provides easy access to free and open source data sets. If in case you want to practice certain information, you want to test certain information, or you are creating certain model, analytical model, and you don't have the data for the same, you can access the data from those systems and then practice and then utilize it. They are not for commercial purpose, but you can use them for your own learnings and for your own understandings, and they are freely available on the open source platforms. They are generally provided by certain freelancer service providers or the people who wants to engage or enhance learnings of other individuals. So they give it for the learning purposes. So when you are dealing with so many digital forms of data, and so you are actually utilizing so much type of data, you actually need to store it. If somebody is giving you the data, or you are processing it at your end, in both the forms you have to store this data, then only you can utilize this data. If you can't store this data, this data will get wasted because you will not be able to capture it properly. So there are different ways of storing digital data. They could be digital audio tapes. Earlier, audio tapes were a familiar way of storing certain information. All the information used to get stored in a certain CDs or audio tapes. But now we have seen that all the storage devices, their sizes are increasing, but their capacities are increasing. They are compact in form, but they store much more and larger type of information, and we will talk about them. So there are primarily four type of data storage devices for the digital purpose. These four are defined as DDS 1, 2, 3 and 4. DDS 1 can store certain limited type of data or limited amount of data, frankly speaking. They can store up to a data up to of 2 GBs. And so if in case you have a certain smaller information or less data, you can use such type of devices. Then if you have higher requirement, you can go for DDS2, which can store up to 8 GB of the data. Then if you have much more capacity or much more data to store, you will be asking for DDS3, which can store up to 24 GB of data. And even if this is not working out for you, you can go for a higher one, which is DDS4, and the latest one, which can store up to 40 GB of data. But when you increase the amount of capacity with respect to the devices, obviously it will start asking for more cost. So as you increase the size or the capacity, your cost will start increasing as well. So there are different types of data when you store them. We know that they will be stored in certain devices. We know that they will be saved somewhere. We know that they have certain data types. But we also need to understand what type of structure they follow. So when you talk about the structure of the data, there are three forms of data when they are stored. These three forms are: data could either be structured, or it could be unstructured, or it could be semi-structured. When you talk about structured data, it basically means it has a proper structure which is defined and is generally stored in tabular structure, a tabular form. As an example, let's suppose I am storing the information of an employee who are working in a certain company, and I have defined that I will be storing 5 information about the employee, that is employee ID, employee age, employee name, employee salary, and employee contact information. So I am storing these informations in my data, and I have clearly defined that I will be only storing these 5 informations, and all these 5 informations will have a restricted data type. That means they will only store certain type of data. As an example, employee ID will be character field. So I can enter any, my values could be alphanumeric, could be completely character, or could be numeric because it can hold any type of values. Then I am asking about employee name. Employee name again will be character value. Employee age, which will be numeric field, which basically means it will not allow character values to be entered inside it. Then salary, which will again be numeric. And contact information, which can again be numeric because it could be their mobile numbers. So it has a proper structure defined, and it will always be stored in tabular form. These are my 5 headers. Then every employee's information will be stored in row wise row structure. First employee, his ID is 11001, his name is ABC, his salary is 10,000 rupees, his age is 25 years, and his contact information is 99999, so on. So this will be stored as a single record. So all the records of subsequent employees will be saved in this way, and we will have a proper structure of this data wherein we have 5 columns and n number of rows basis the number of employees that we have. So it will be a proper structure. Then we have an unstructured form of data. When we talk about unstructured form of data, we don't have a predefined structures of these data, and these data can take any form. To give you an example, I would say that I want to collect all the tweets which have been done against Narendra Modi. So Narendra Modi's tweet will be containing different type of information. They might be of 2 characters, like somebody has said thank you, or they might be of 100 characters or 100 words wherein somebody has complained and have said so many things about Rafael, about India as a nation, about how we are growing, about how COVID is impacting India. They might have entered everything about it. So we can say that this particular field will have a 5 characters or 10 characters or 20 characters, because it can take any amount of characters. Precisely speaking, when you will be using Twitters and you will be sending certain comments or writing certain comments, you will not notice that I have to fill in that many words. You would just express yourself. That is what happens in an unstructured form of data. The data is completely obtained in a random nature, and then when you are processing it, you will have to store it in a way wherein they have a flexibility to be stored. You can't restrict them with number of values or number of characters or number of data types, etc. Besides completely random form of data, which is unstructured, and completely proper format of formatted data, which is structured, there is a middle form of data, which is known as semi-structured data, which follows certain amount of structure, but have a little bit of flexibility. Few examples are, you might have heard about XML files or JSON files. They are those type of files which follow certain structures but have a little bit of flexibility, because you can change few of the fields. And once you are able to change those fields, you can still store them in a proper structured way, so that you can fetch out the information and still you have the flexibility to change the structure. So such type of fields are generally used when you're dealing with the web form of data. As an example, let's suppose you are storing the information in XML. That information can easily be extracted on a website page, because XML follows a friendly nature with respect to the HTML, which is the language of website. So they have a hand-on-hand coordination and can easily be processed. So these are the 3 forms of data that you usually use, or you usually obtain or save when you're talking about the digital data. When you are talking about the data, you are storing the data, you are processing the data, you are using the data, you are utilizing the data, you are analyzing the data. But when you are using these data, you also need to understand what this data is all about. So when you are your data is helping you in understanding various things. But when you don't know anything about the data, you also need a dictionary which can help you understand about the data. And that dictionary is known as metadata. So when you talk about metadata, it basically means data about data. As an example, let's suppose I'm saving certain information in Excel file, wherein I have created a table, I have done few formattings, wherein I have kept few rows as bold, few rows as yellow highlighted, few rows with conditional formatting, few rows as red, few rows as yellow, and so on. Now, when I'm storing this information, I also need to store these information which are formatting in nature. As an example, which cells are yellow in color, which cells are bold, and all these information. If these informations are not stored, and then in that case, when I transfer this data to somebody else, they will not be able to understand or differentiate between the data, but you had created a difference by highlighting them. So this information also becomes information, and this information is stored separately in form of metadata, wherein each marking is stored differently to understand what type of data this is. With respect to metadata, there are more information which are needed. As an example, let's suppose your certain table had certain information about the transactions. Now your that table which is storing information about the transaction has 5 fields: field 1, field 2, field 3, field 4, field 5. If you are accessing that data, you would know that this particular table has 5 fields: field 1, field 2, field 3, field 4, field 5. But you also need to understand what is the meaning of each of these 5 fields. What is the meaning of field 1? What is the meaning of field 2? What is the meaning of field 3? What is the meaning of field 4? And what is the meaning of field 5? For this information, you need to have a stored information which explains the meaning of field 1. As an example, field 1 is actually the number of people who are visiting a site. Field 2 is number of people who have actually seen a particular product. Field 3 is actually the sales that is done by those people. So all these information has to be stored somewhere with respect to their definition. And when you will be storing this information is about the actual data. So it will be called as metadata of the actual data or the dictionary of the data. So to precisely or to confinedly say about metadata, it is simply the information or data about another data. We talked about digital data storage. We know that these data are being stored. Few of the examples where these data are sourced or the stored or the sources where from where these data can be captured are public data set, as I already explained that how these public data sets can be accessed. Few examples are Google data sets, from where you can access the data and then can practice your models accordingly, or the Wikipedia, from where you can find out certain information. Then data sets for sales, few people sell the data sets. As an example, you might have noticed that you get a lot of lots of advertisement messages because certain service providers are storing your information, your mobile or contact information, and they are selling it to third parties who are actually utilizing it for the advertisement purpose. Then there are APIs which collects the data and from where data can be fetched. As an example, Facebook, Twitter, Google, they will be storing all your information, and if somebody is having a targeted advertisement campaigns, they will be going to these platforms to ask for the data or to ask for the right consumer, and they will be targeting their advertisement to you if you are the right consumer for the respective advertisement campaign. Then there are scrappings that happens. Scrapping basically means certain codes or certain predefined codes which takes the data from different websites, which basically means they will read the data from different websites and will store it somewhere. As an example, let's suppose you have a certain web scrapping tool which stores the information about various stock prices. So it will go to multiple stock trading websites, will read the stock information about certain company, and will store it in a single source. And now this information has been collected from various websites using the scrapping services, which many coders do it manually, or there are automated ways as well. When you are processing these type of data, there are different type of processing that is required. Now we will be talking about those processings. The first form of processing is known as OLAP, which basically means online analytical processing. So when you are doing OLAP or online analytical processing, you are utilizing, so you create a chain of the data. Data is collected from one form, then it is stored at different way, then it is processed and cleaned, and then it is analyzed. When you are analyzing it, either that analysis will be manual or it will be automated, like capturing of the trends. You would have noticed that when you look for the share price of certain company on Google, then Google finance page appears, which shows you the trend. So it is collectively getting that information from different websites and then processing it parallelly, and you know that what type of trend it is following. And few more examples are, if you have a YouTube channel, you would notice that YouTube will give you the statistic that how your data is being processed and collected, how many people have actually seen your video, and what type of people are seeing your video. So those data are continuously getting collected and being processed and analyzed and are presented to you as a report. When you want to utilize these form of data, you have to maintain sources accordingly so that these data can be easily processed. As an example, if you are doing a scraping tool which notices the stock prices from the multiple websites and then store it somewhere, and then you take decisions accordingly, what you need to do is you need to capture that data from multiple sources and have to save it somewhere so that all the collected information have a single source, and that single source then further be cleaned and extra data will be removed from it so that no discrepancy happens. Once this thing happens, then OLAP cubes will be created, which will be utilizing the data into different forms and different with different cuts. Once it is once a cube is created, it can then be further analyzed and can be utilized in different way to do certain analysis. When you are using OLAP tools, you will be utilizing this data in different forms. Few examples are, you might be doing roll-ups of the data. As an example, let's suppose there are 100 products that your company sells, and those information of 100 products are stored in a cube at the back end, which is a OLAP engine. Now you want to understand which product has the highest penetration in overall sales, or which products are contributing to maximum sales. What you will be doing is, you will be taking all the products and doing the sum of all the sales that they have attained. Now you are actually aggregating or rolling up basis the number of products. So if my product A has 5 values, A 500, A 100, A 50, A 50, A 50, so actually when you add it up, it will become single row with value A, product A, and total sale value of 250 rupees. So when you are doing certain things, these things will actually be used as a rolled up to understand how these values are utilized. Similarly, these can be used for drill down purposes. As an example, you say that this particular product has highest sale. Now you want to drill down it further. You have the cubes which have the data at the minute level or a very small level. You would say that this is particular category which gives me 40% of overall sales. If I am getting 100 rupees of sale, 40 rupees of sales only comes from this category, which could be, as an example, beauty category. So beauty category gives you most of the sales. Now you need to understand what product in beauty gets sold at the maximum. So what you will do is, within category of beauty, you will try to drill down further and you would see ki which are the products which are selling more. As an example, there could be makeup products in beauty which are selling more. You would notice by drilling down further that makeup products are the products which are contributing to maximum sales in beauty, inside beauty. So this process is known as drill down, wherein you go deep dive to understand which is affecting you how. Then you might be doing slicing of the data which are stored in OLAP cubes. Slicing basically means you are not taking all the data. Instead of that, you are taking a subpart of the data. As an example, your data is storing information about 100 products, but you only want the information about 10 products. You will take out all the information of those 10 products out of the OLAP cube and will store it somewhere and analyze it differently. Then this process is known as slicing. If your original rows has 100 and you took out 10% of the data, actually you took out 10 rows of the data into a new system to further analyze it. This process is known as slicing. Then pivot. Pivot is basically means summarizing the data at different levels and combining the data into row and column form so that you can see how data is behaving. As an example, you first analyze the data at a category level, that this category is performing well, this category is performing least. Then to understand it further, you also inserted the subcategories within categories. Now the more rows, the more columns you are adding, your data is getting drilled down automatically. This process is known as pivot and is taken from a very common tool which is known as Microsoft Excel, which has a capacity of creating pivot on any data. So that form of data can easily be summarized and analyzed, and it can help you take decisions quickly. This form of analysis is known as pivot and can be done on a data which have been stored in OLAP cubes. So when you are storing the data on OLAP, your OLAP servers will be storing this data into different ways. There are primarily three types of OLAP servers which store these OLAP data. One is relational OLAP. Relational OLAP basically means it will be storing multiple data, but each data forms will have certain relationship with each other. As an example, let's suppose you are storing one employee table which will have employee ID, employee name, employee gender, and employee contact information. Now this particular table is storing every information about the employee. There is another table which is storing salary information. For example, this particular employee ID has this salary. This particular employee ID has this salary and this designation. Now these are two different tables, but if in case you want to see the contact information as well as the salary information of the same employee, you will have to combine these two tables basis employee ID. Now since these two tables can be combined, they have a relation with each other, and such forms of relationship maintenance is known as relational database. So when your data is storing data in such form that it can be, one information can be obtained from multiple sources by combining using common keys, such type of databases are known as relational databases. Then there are multi-dimensional OLAPs, which basically means MOLAP, where different forms of dimensions are stored to store the same information. As an example, I say I have a table which is storing the data in category form. Category A has a total sale of 100 rupees. Category B has a total sale of 50 rupees. Now I have another table which is storing the information at a subcategory level. As an example, I am wearing men's apparel. This is my category which has a total sale of 100 rupees. My one information or one table is storing this information. There will be another table which will have another dimension, category and subcategory. Now within men's apparel, there will be trousers and there will be shirts. Shirts has sales of 50 rupees. Trousers has sale of 50 rupees. Now it will totally add up to 100, which ultimately is the total sale of men's apparel. But if in case I want to drill down further, I will go to the next dimension, which is the subcategory level. So these multi-dimensional OLAP servers will store information into multi-dimension form. Then hybrid. There are hybrid OLAPs, which actually basically means can store different type of information from different structures and still collectively collect this information so that you can get information in the way you want it to be. So we discussed three type of primary servers in OLAPs, which are ROLAP, MOLAP and HOLAP, which is hybrid online analytical processing. Each of these has certain advantages and disadvantages and are used accordingly. As an example, when we talk about ROLAP, ROLAP are very efficient in managing huge amount of data and can easily be used in different type of data warehouses. But the disadvantage is you have to use SQL functionalities to utilize this data, and you have to use SQL to actually understand the data or convert it into a certain form. And it is a bit difficult to aggregate these data. Aggregation basically means you want to combine multiple forms or you want to take an aggregated value. It becomes difficult unless you write SQL queries for the same. So you have to be a little bit expert in SQL queries to actually utilize this form of data. But it is equally applicable in most of the cases, because when you are dealing with structured form of data, then SQL is your biggest friend, because it actually helps you in identifying the way you want to see the data. Then there are multiple OLAPs, which are basically MOLAPs. It has their advantages and disadvantages as well. As an example, when you have a MOLAP type of structures, you can easily slice and dice the data. Slicing and dicing basically means you can cut the data, you can take the subpart of the data and then utilize that subpart. Because of this structure, you can, when you create a subpart, your data is huge and you created a subpart out of it, it will be a little bit more efficient because it takes less amount of space and will be effective and fast as compared to ROLAP. It can perform complex calculations as well, because it has a limited type of data or limited sliced data from the original ROLAP. The difficulties is, or the challenges with respect to MOLAP are, it is difficult to change the dimension of these type of data structures. So if in case you want to add new structure, or if in case you want to add new field, it will be difficult to maintain it in case of MOLAP. But and there is a limited functionality that if in case you are dealing with huge amount of data, it will create start creating certain issues. Then there is third type of OLAP, which is hybrid OLAP. Hybrid OLAP is basically the combination of ROLAP and MOLAP. So the advantage of hybrid OLAP is it can take care of all the problems which are created using ROLAP or MOLAP. So the biggest advantage is you can deal with load of data, you can do fast aggregation, it will be easily accessible. But the problem is, since it can do lots and lots of things, it will be extremely complex, and you need specialized persons who can actually deal with these type of servers.